There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Mark Lloyd, you are heading off on your holidays in 2 weeks' time.
I am. It's not far away. The clock is indeed ticking down to my holes.
We're going to miss you, but sadly, you won't be able to miss us because work emails will still keep coming in.
Yeah.
You don't mind that, though, do you?
I don't mind. You know, I'd like to keep up with what's going on whilst I'm away and, you know, anything that might kind of involve me, I like to be on top of. I won't check it every day, but every two or three days I do check it.
Does your wife mind you doing that? Because I always remember when my dad would go on holiday, his wife would be like, stop checking your emails, we're on holiday.
I don't think she'll mind this year because I'm going on holiday on my own.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because she's already gone. You know, we did this thing where she went, then she would come back, and because we had a baby arriving, because we had a grandchild arriving, we wanted one of us to be here. And it happened to be me.
So you're going on your own?
Yeah.
Okay, well, will you be doing an out-of-office reply?
Now, I've never actually done one of these before, an out-of-office reply. And, you know, I don't know what I'd actually put on it. Am I on annual leave? Knowing me, I'd put something on there that's totally extemporaneous.
So you just think of it on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new trend for the overshare on out-of-office email replies. Normally, you would just write something like, I'm out of the office, I'm really sorry I can't get to my emails, please contact Mark Lloyd in my absence and he'll help deal with anything happening on the ticket.
Okay, that's cool.
But instead of that, people are writing things like, sorry you've missed me, I'm out of the office, taking a well-earned break from the city grind, enjoying some headspace in the great British countryside. I've Airbnb'd a cottage. They called it a cottage, it's got a cosy feel with lack of windows. It's giving me plenty of opportunities for mindful contemplation. If I go to the top of the hill and lean carefully, I can pick up a little bit of 3G. Small note, there's a tiny blinking red light at the corner of the ceiling, and I keep having dreams that someone is standing over my bed. Must be a rural thing. Something to do with the lovely fresh air. I hope to return in June. For anything urgent, please get in touch with Elaine.
I think that's a little bit too much information, Elaine.
Although,
to be honest.
But would it stop people from bothering you further if they knew kind of more about what you were doing and really got the impression you were relaxing?
I don't know. I mean, really, is anybody else interested if somebody is enjoying the great British countryside in a cottage and, you know, there's lack of windows? No, I don't think it would.
Too much for them to have to read on the
other
end.
Definitely too much.
Should we make them funny?
Yeah, funny. Cool. Yeah.
That works, no matter who's messaging?
I think funny, yeah. Like, I could say, I'm off on my holidays with a very irate Pomeranian dog. I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I love doing out-of-office replies. Can't wait to do the next one. I'm very excited. I could help you if you want to do one.
Yeah, okay.
If you've never done one before.
Let's do one tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do one, yeah.
Yours could say something like, I'm on my holidays, but I'm checking my emails every day, so please keep them coming. Now, once you get on your holiday, we've got a bit of a sunglasses warning for you on the ticket today, haven't we?
Yeah, it's on what you do, on what you base a sunglasses purchase on. Is it the way that they actually look, the style of them, or do you look at the actual protection that they're giving you?
I don't look at anything apart from how they look.
Me too.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It doesn't mean a thing to me what UV it is or anything. If I like the style and I think it suits my face, I'll buy them.
But I don't do a lot of sunbathing. Like, I'm not out in the sun very often.
No.
You're always at La Mer, aren't you, doing a bit of sunbathing?
Yeah, I do a bit at La Mer. But I only do maybe an hour and a half, and that's me. I'm finished.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, a young woman is warning others of the dangers of sunbathing today. We all know about slapping on the sun cream, of course, but do you use it around your eyes or do you count on your sunglasses to protect you? Because I never want to put it right around my eyes. I always feel like there's things in the sun cream that wouldn't be good for
gentle
skin under your eyes.
Okay.
Well, Holly Barrington was on holiday when she had an inflammatory reaction. She'd used sun lotion on her skin, but she was let down by her sunglasses, which gave her too little defence. And she said, I wore sun cream, I didn't burn. When I got back to the room and had a shower, I could feel my face starting to swell and it felt really, really hot.
Oh, that sounds bad.
So the next morning, her eyes were so swollen, she had to go and see the doctor. He told her she had something called sun poisoning.
No, I've never heard of that before.
I haven't either.
You know, we've had food poisoning for many a year, but not sun poisoning.
It's a rare and extreme form of skin damage from overexposure to UV rays, also known as polymorphic light eruption. And the symptoms include blistering, swelling, tingling, headaches, nausea and fevers. She said, I wore sun cream. I believe my eyes would be protected by my sunglasses, but they couldn't have been. I looked like a chipmunk. I couldn't believe what had happened to me. The doctor said, we see a number of skin reactions which can be related to the sun. When choosing sunglasses, you have to ensure they have 100% UV protection, also known as UV 400. So look for that next time you buy sunglasses.
Yeah, I've learned something there. UV 400.
And tips for protection on holiday when it comes to the sun. Wear a high factor sunscreen, of course. What factor are you on generally?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even look at that either.
Do you not?
I don't know. No.
Oh, I'm obsessed. 50 all the way.
Yeah? Is that as high as it'll go?
I think so,
That's the big one, is it? Mm. Also, ensure that you apply plenty of sunscreen 15 to 30 minutes before you actually go out.
And not a lot of people do that, you know. A lot of people will wait till they're out.
Until they get there and then
put it on. Yeah, it's less effective. Okay. Reapply it regularly, of course, every 2 hours and straight after you go swimming. Or if you're sweating a lot and it's boiling hot outside like it is here at the minute.
Also, make sure that you use enough of it. An ounce of sunscreen should be enough to cover an adult from head to toe. That's roughly equivalent to an egg cup full.
And the best way to protect your skin is with clothing. Don't forget to wear a hat that protects your face, your neck and your ears. Your ears are really important. People forget about them all the time. Spend time in the shade as well is the other advice. And getting out of the sun is important. It helps protect your skin. So make sure you spend time in the shade between 11 and 3 p.m. That's when the UV rays are at their strongest. All stuff that we know, but I think every now and then it's worth just mentioning it again.
Reiterate it again so that we don't forget it.
We got more of the stories that you might have missed in a sec, including a way of holidaying. What could splurjet travel be? Have a little think about that.
Splurging out on shopping trips.
Splurjet travel. Have a think. We'll tell you in a minute.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Just before we get into a new story, thanks, Alison. We were talking about sunscreen, of course, just before.
And your sunglasses not being good enough.
Exactly. Don't be fooled by the shade. I only sit in the shade, and if I sit out in the total shade in my garden, I still get burnt.
Wow, that's pretty scary, isn't it? It's bouncing off things and burning you in the shade. Yeah, be careful. Always have your sun cream on whenever you go outside living here. We need to talk about stealing today. We need to talk about your stealing, Mark Lloyd, because I'm sure you've done this.
I have done this, and I can remember exactly where I did it. It was in one of these lodges, these wildlife lodges in South Africa, in Durban, and they had the most amazing-smelling gels and lotions and hair shampoos, and it was a brand, it was an African brand, and I've never smelled anything quite like it, and yeah, I whizzed the whole lot when I left.
Thievery. Taking the mini toiletries from hotels when you travel. A lot of people do this, I think. Do you know who does this the most?
Who?
Because I have a friend who does this. So she works as cabin crew.
Oh, yeah.
And she travels a lot.
Right.
And her partner has never, ever had to buy any shower gel for the bathroom since they've been together.
Seriously?
Yeah. He lives on mini toiletries.
Wow. I don't do it that often, and only if it's a really super nice brand.
Yeah, so you wouldn't just take them if they were any old.
No.
Any old thing.
No, I don't think I would.
I took some in Russia once when they were a really nice brand.
Yeah?
Mm.
You used it?
Not myself.
You used it or you've kept
it? Yeah. No, I don't keep it. I'd use it straight away pretty much. Yeah. I don't like to have too many little bottles kicking around the bathroom. They get dusty pretty quick. We did a straw poll of our own. Let us know if you do this, if you take the mini toiletries from hotels when you travel.
I just returned back from a trip and I had a whole bag filled with toiletries. The products were absolutely amazing, something that I would never purchase myself. If they're there, take them, why not?
Guilty. Yeah. I can't think of anyone who doesn't take them. I don't know. There's some people keep them just to kind of like remember memories by, or just like, hey, we stayed at this hotel. But I take them because they smell nice.
Only the good ones. If it's a good brand, definitely. If it's rubbish, no. My husband's been known to raid an unmanned trolley before, which I think is the next level.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think it'll go to the bin anyway, and which I think is really bad for the environment. So, better use it rather than throwing it away.
I used to do it a lot back in the days, but I think I've traveled a little too much, so I kind of stopped. It's lost its novelty a little bit.
Always, because they're there, and they're there for me, and if I don't use them when I'm there, then I think I have the right to use them forever.
100% I take the toiletries from a hotel room. They're free, right? It's supposed to, it's in your right to do that as a hotel room guest.
It's your right.
It is your right, says Pricey from Dubai 92. Heck, bad news to all of those guys, including Pricey. It looks like their days are numbered, Mark.
Really? Why?
Major hotel chains are ditching mini toiletries in favour of large refillable bottles or dispensers that are fixed onto the bathroom walls and can't be pocketed or tampered with by guests.
So we'll need like a power drill to power drill them off the wall.
I can see Pricey doing that going, it's my right!
Yeah, it's my right. Well, bring me the drill. Now, all this is in a move to cut down on plastic waste, and it'll also save on money too. Anne Smith is the Vice President of Brand Management and Design for a small hotel chain called Choice Hotels, which will continue using the bathroom minis. And she said that guests didn't always trust the contents of the dispensers, and they didn't trust that they were clean and full. She said that guests really want to get their hotel room, including the bathroom, and not see any evidence of anybody else having been there.
I don't know. I think if it came to the choice of give up your hotel miniatures to help save the planet or keep them and it's going to be awful for landfill and plastic that will not disappear for hundreds of years, then I would say give me the one on the wall with the dispenser. Wouldn't any normal person in their right mind say that?
So what would you do? You get your water bottle and fill the dispenser. From the dispenser, you'd fill it all. You'd fill your water bottle.
I do not steal toiletries from hotels.
You've just said you did in Russia.
I did it once. I am not a thief going forward. But I do this. We have a little place that we rent out and we have bigger bottles that we then refill. Because you can buy like gallon big bottles.
Right.
You just refill it when people leave and they look new again. They look fresh.
Yeah. Did you have a problem with people taking...
No. These? I don't know actually. I don't think we did. But you never know.
You never know, do you?
Yeah, you never know.
It's hard to check up on.
Anyway, your days are numbered if you do nick the miniatures in a hotel.
Right, Facebook in the spotlight again this afternoon, and a warning about putting photos of your children's birthday parties online.
Have you done this?
Yeah, I've done it every year. I've done it for both my kids all the time.
Oh, dear. Can you foresee any problems with this at all? Have a little think about it. What could be the problem with putting pictures of your kids' birthdays on Facebook? What do you reckon?
Maybe companies will be able to see when the birthday is, and then they'll get in touch with you just before the birthday and say, why don't you buy one of our products as a gift?
Oh, you wish. That's a best case scenario.
Okay.
It's worse. Parents who share images of their children have been warned that they are exposing them to identity fraud, not only now, but many years ahead.
Identity fraud?
Yeah. Fraudsters can work out when your date of birth is because your parents have put pictures of your birthday online every year.
Seriously?
Yeah. Barclays Bank predicts that by 2030, sharenting, which is what they're calling it, sharenting. Sounds horrible, doesn't it?
It does.
Will lead to 2/3 of online identity theft committed against young people. It'll cost an estimated £676 million, which is £3,336 million dirhams a year.
That's a whole lot of cash. And it's not just the birthday photos that are a problem. A picture of moving house or even a first day at school could reveal their home address and their school. Posts that refer to the child's name will then give a fraudster enough information to try and take out a loan or even a credit card in their name once they're older, or to access the bank account as well.
Equally, when you put up posts on Facebook or you have your pet on there, I'm sure your little Pomeranian's on there, is he? With his name?
Yeah, he's on quite a lot.
And have you put his name on there too?
Yes, I have.
Uh-oh. Okay. Certain football teams that you support, have you done that?
Yeah, I've done that.
Right. Well, that can give clues to your passwords. Have any of your passwords got in the name of the Pomeranian or name of a team that you like?
No.
Oh, okay, good then. Famous families are falling foul of this too. Not Sir Elton John, though, who took care to conceal the faces and the uniforms of his kids when he was doing his back-to-school photographs for online last autumn. However, John Terry, who's a footballer, Chelsea footballer.
I know John Terry.
He shared a picture of his twins, who are 12 years old, and on the picture of them going back to school was their school badge. So people know which school they go to now.
And I remember John Terry as well, once he went on vacation and he was posting some pictures whilst he was on holiday and he got burgled.
He's not doing very well. Jodie Gilbert, Barclays head of digital safety, said careless online behaviour and insufficient privacy settings can reveal key details. Think before you post and carry out regular audits of your social media accounts.
Good advice, that. Are you one of the 75% of parents sharing key information about their children on social media? And after hearing that, will you continue to do so?
Will you?
Maybe I'll think a little bit. Certainly put it in my mind. It's planted a seed.
Do the birthday on the wrong day.
Yeah. Yeah, do it. Yeah, totally on the wrong day. Good
idea.
A couple
of text messages coming in. Hi, Lloyd. That's what people are calling you now.
That's me, is it?
Lloydie. Yeah.
Okay.
And Steph. How about wearing a mask for sun protection when you're driving? I wear gloves and I wear sunglasses as well. I don't know. I'm not sure. There's that old thing about, can you get the rays through a car window? I'll have to Google that because I can't remember.
Yeah, me neither. How can taking mini toiletries be considered thieving when you've already paid for them in your room rate?
Because they're in the room, aren't they?
No name on that one.
It's a fine line, that, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, the things that are in your room are there for you to use, but are the containers they're in there for you to take as well?
Yeah, I mean, you can go on and on, can't you? You know, is it just the toiletries, or are we taking the slippers and the bathrobes and the whole lot?
Yeah, where do you draw the line? Because at some hotels, like the Burj Al Arab out here, have got Hermes products, which are amazing. And they're full size. So I was really, the one time I stayed there, I was really confused about whether you could take them. Can you take a full-size perfume with you when you leave, even though the room's very expensive?
Oh, I don't think so.
How do you know?
Full-size Hermes.
I think you can.
No.
What are they going to do with it? They're not going to just leave it in there a bit used, are they? It was brand new.
I did anyway. Well, somebody... So you're admitting it again. You're saying, I'm doing
this. It's a long time ago. It was 10 years ago. Leave me alone. Back to travel now. A new travel trend is emerging. Have you heard the term splurjet travel before?
Splurjet travel is a completely new one on me.
What could it mean?
Oh, splurging when you're out there, you know, spending as much money as you possibly can while you're on your holidays.
You're halfway there, but it's actually all about including a little bit of luxury in an otherwise budget holiday. So you're splurging, but you're doing it whilst on a budget holiday. So the idea is to plan your trip around budget options. So we're talking about staying in a hostel, getting a budget airline seat, eating street food when you're there.
Okay.
But then, when you get there, maybe thinking to yourself, one night we're going to go and eat in a Michelin-starred restaurant in Paris. We're going to have a helicopter tour over the Grand Canyon. Maybe a hot air balloon ride, or hiring a private yacht when you get to Dubai.
Okay, so we tighten our belts for the majority of our holiday, and then on this one day we go absolutely mad and spend a fortune.
Yeah. Okay. According to Skyscanner, 71% of young people have started to embrace splurjet travel. 63% said that they would consider taking a splurjet holiday in the future, indicating that they would scrimp on certain parts of their holiday if it means they can indulge in other areas. So the things that we're saving most on, and I don't just think it's young people anymore, you know. Flights, 53%. I'm looking for cheaper flights all the time.
Okay.
And more willing to use budget airlines than I ever have been before. Accommodation, 16%. That's not where I'm trying to save money, to be honest. I like good accommodation.
Mm.
And local transport, 12%. So people are using public transport more so they can spend the money that they would usually use on taxis on something that's a bit more of a treat.
Yeah, I think out of those three, I would probably not cut back on the flights. You know, I want to know I'm on a good, reliable airline.
But would you always sit in economy, or would you spend the extra money to sit in business?
No, economy.
Economy all the way. Yeah,
economy,
me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Definitely.
Right, we've run out of time.
Yeah, that was a good stories today, and thanks for all your messages coming in.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.